Alright guys, welcome back to another episode of The JJ Show. That's me. What a stupid freaking intro. I don't know what I'm doing anymore, man. Going at loco crazy up in Vancouver. Because, you know, Vancouver's a weird freaking place to be. But, you know, I'm doing what I can in this city of, And life's going smooth, you know? You just gotta go with the flow, I guess. But I looked on YouTube, I saw your guys' comments, I saw your guys' what you wanted to see on the poll, and it looks like you wanted to hear about Japanese girls. Bunch of perverts. I'm joking. And it's tied with teaching and racism in Japan, so let's just try to kick this all out in one episode, shall we? Alright, so going back. So I taught English in Japanese schools, in junior high schools, junior high and elementary school, and kindergarten even. Yeah, I changed some diapers. I did everything there is to do with teaching in some of the biggest and most well-known schools in Japan. And yeah, there's a lot of racism. And by racism, I don't mean being like, gaijin, get out! Unless you're a piece of crap teacher, which there was a lot of those. But those guys get kicked out pretty quick. But racism in the terms of what an ALT is. So if you become a teacher in Japan, odds are you're going to be an ALT. ALT stands for Assistant Language Teacher, which means that you're never really an English teacher in the first place. You're an assistant teacher to the Japanese teacher, who is the main teacher. He's not the assistant Japanese teacher. He's not the assistant English teacher. He's the English teacher. And sometimes you'll have a Japanese English teacher who speaks with no English whatsoever. But you'll get some Japanese teachers that come up to you and they're like, oh, excuse me, but, how do I say? And then you're just like, please write it down. What do you ask me? Or if you're fluent in Japanese, you're like, oh, well, ask me in Japanese. And
Ganbarimasu. I will try.
And you know, you get in these conversations for like 40 minutes with these Japanese teachers. Because they just think that they're the English teacher and you're their assistant. So they should have control of the whole school and the whole conversation and all of your students and everything. And you know, working as an assistant English teacher, I've had Japanese teachers, especially when I worked at the Yankee Junior High School, just up and like have sick days. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? And they're like, oh, just take care of the class. I taught the class by myself with Japanese students, Yankee Japanese students, who, a funny story, and whenever I remember this, I keep laughing, but I had these Japanese students that when I came into the classroom, they were like, where's the other teacher? And I'm like, it's just me today. And the kids were like, oh, bell rings, they're throwing paper airplanes, they're throwing erasers, they're throwing things all over the room. Girls are chatting, guys are goofing off playing video, not video games, but goofing off. And I'm like, excuse me, class is starting. And I had to freaking anime style it, just slam my hand on the desk and be like, Damare! Be quiet! I screamed in Japanese. And then everyone was, whoop, perfect student. And I just... Maybe I watched too much GTO or something, but I went to them and I was just like, Jugyo hajimarimasu. Class begins. And yeah, you know, they shut the hell up and I got to teach that class. But doing something like that so abrupt and so strong, even the Yankee kids aren't used to that because they ran over the teachers. But going back to the point of racism, even though I was the main teacher for like a week, and even though I was, you know, teaching a class all by myself, I was still never treated like the actual teacher. And some ALTs and some teachers in Japan don't get invited to the after parties. Some people don't get invited to the meetings. They're just expected to sit at their desk, do whatever. And this is a treatment that happens to a lot of people that come to Japan because other foreigners gave a bad image, or the Japanese teachers grow up and they have hidden racism in them, I'm not sure. But the point being is, a lot of foreigners, they come to Japan and they realize that kids are really into them, they're making an impact on their life, but they get cut off before that they even get the chance to show their true potential or become a great teacher. And that's one of the sad, racist parts of being a teacher in Japan. And besides that as well, I've heard teachers coming to Japan and just having full-blown racism. The teacher just being like, huh, ignoring them, not helping them at all, just like, do this, I don't want to talk to you, do your job, just repeat after me. And a lot of people were kind of sad by that. I mean, I'm not going to crap on the schools, but I mean, you got to explain and teach people about things that are there, right? We hear a lot about Japan being safe, and like I said in other podcasts, there's a lot of VLTs that commit suicide because they can't handle the pressures of Japan, and we never hear about this in the media. We always have this clean-cut, beautiful image of the romantic Japan, but the truth is, there's a lot of dark sides to it. Just like anywhere else in the world, right? But a lot of people, they come and they think Japan, oh anime, oh manga, oh sports, oh this, oh that, and they have this beautiful, magical image of Japan. And a lot of people get shocked when they find out the truth. Whether they get culture shock, whether they get homesickness, whether they commit suicide, or whether they just get up and leave all of a sudden. And I've heard it all. There's so many stories of that I've heard in the last 10 years that I was there last. And it doesn't seem to change at all. The only difference is that there's more foreigners coming to Japan, so there's more foreigners leaving Japan. So, I don't know what else to talk about racism as being a teacher, except, I mean, if you got a Yankee school like me, you get racism from the students, too. But, yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, that amount of racism isn't that bad. Like, when I lived in the countryside of Japan, I literally had babies and their parents just going, huh? A white boy? What magical appearance is this? And, you know, you kind of like, at first, you're like, hey, cool, boo, magic, bitch. Or, I used to go around to people when they were staring at me, and I was just like, oh, hi, hakujin this. Like, yeah, I'm a white guy. Nice to meet you. And, you know, it's for shits and giggles, but after so many years of that, it gets kind of annoying, right? You just want to be treated like one. Living in a country like Canada now, you see black people, you see Hindu people, you see people of all races and all colors, and everyone treats them how they should be treating. Equal. But in Japan, no. You're never treated equal. And they do have images as well, like being a Canadian or American or a British teacher. Wow, your English is perfect, so we're so happy to have you. But I see people that speak English from Africa or France, and they're like, can you pronounce it more like Americans and Canadians? And to British people, that gets them really pissed off. I mean, I've met a lot of British people, and they're like, yeah, they told me to just sit in the corner while the teacher says repeat after me because my pronunciation is not good enough, even though I'm from England, where English is born. And I go, yeah, but Hollywood took it over, so take a backseat, bitch. No, I'm joking, I'm joking, I'm joking. I'm sympathetic to it, because he's right. And, yeah, they really idolize Canadian, American, and British English. And anyone else that comes there, even Asian Canadians, like my buddy, he came to Japan, and people kind of treated him different because he looks like he shouldn't be able to speak English as good as he does. And now in Japan, they're starting to realize, like, oh, there are Canadians and Americans that are Asian, so they speak good English. And they're starting to get better with that now, but that was an issue. And, yeah, there's still a lot of racist topics to talk about, but I can't really think of them right now. And this is kind of shooting in an episode of The JJ Show. Well, I can, because I'm very busy as of late with stand-up comedy and all that. But if I missed anything or you had any questions, make sure to comment down below and I will answer them for you. And okay, what was the other thing? Girls in Japan. Okay, so how do I say this without telling crazy stories of chilling with the Yakuza or being a host, which I've already talked about. Girls in Japan. Okay, it's a weird topic because I don't consider myself what the Japanese call a playboy or a player. I've got my share of girls. I've got my share of models and actresses and, you know, all that. But I've also always had a good relationship with the girls I was with, having long-term relationships, blah, blah, blah. So I don't consider myself just, you know, hump and dump kind of guy. But I have many friends that are that kind of guy. And, what can I say? Some guys have had 200 girls in 1 year. Some guys have been just crazy, 5 girls at once. Actually, here's a crazy story for you. And this guy is completely disgusting. He's not my friend. It's just a creepy story he told me, so I'm going to share it with you and traumatize you too. So being an actor, I get to meet people from all around the world coming to Tokyo and just working at being an actor or an entrepreneur and things like that. So all the time I was meeting people all over the world and would bump into people, usually multiple times on similar commercials or TV shows because they have a certain look and, you know, maybe they're similar. And one guy that I always bump into would be this Australian guy who I couldn't even tell you the name. I can't remember him. But he was well known in the foreign community because he was always drunk. He hid his alcohol in a little flask. And even though he was doing acting and being on movies and commercials, he would always bring it with him and get drunk during taping. So people like me and other foreigners that were professional didn't really like that guy. But anyways, one day he was sitting down and gloating about how many girls he got, and he went to me and he goes, "You know, I got a girl for every day of the week, Monday through Friday." And one guy went to him and they were like, "Well, how do you juggle that? That's insane." He goes, "You know what I did?" And everyone's like, "Okay, sure, tell us." And he said, "I took a toothbrush and I put it near my toothbrush, and every girl that came in, I said it was a present for them." So he told every girl that he bought them a toothbrush, but it was the same toothbrush. So the Monday through Friday girls were using the same toothbrush, thinking it was a present he bought for them. Piece of shit. And it's kind of sad because, you know, Japanese girls are very pure, they're very innocent, they think that once they meet a good foreigner, he's going to be the knight to rescue them from, you know, whatever is troubling them in the live happily ever after in the Castellot and Camelot, but there's a lot of douchebags. And sadly, he was one of many like that. And I can only hope that he leaves or gets deported soon. Another creepy guy I knew was this guy named Greg from New Zealand. And he was a weird guy, man. Like, I felt bad for him because everyone hated him. He was a jerk. He was rude. And I don't know. I see people like that and I'm like, they have mental problems or maybe their family, you know, issues or maybe some, in Japanese we say, kuroi kokoro, like a black heart. And I'm just like, you know, I'll be nice to him. And I tried to just be like, oh, you know, hi. And eventually he kept thinking like, oh, JJ is the only guy nice to me, so I better team up and talk with him lots and be his friend. And he tried, and the more I got to know him, the more I realized how bad of a person he was. And I mean really bad. I mean like doing things when girls say no bad. And then eventually when I learned this, I was like, okay, I gotta cut this guy out of my life. He is the worst gaijin in the world, the worst foreigner to come to Japan. And he was getting so bad that he was like, JJ, I got this guy that's getting all this money in and we can't have it in the same bank account. Can we put like $20,000 into your bank account? We'll give you $5,000 out of it. And I was like, that sounds like money laundering, so no. And guess what? About 1 year after that and about the same time as I came back to Canada, that guy got arrested, thrown in Japanese jail for, that's right, money laundering. So, whew, dodged a big bullet there and a happy ending to a really creepy, messed up guy. Neh. Oh yes, the journeys in Japan, the highs and the lows, you get them all right here, folks. But going back to Japanese girls. So I'm gonna tell you the scale that I work with that I recently told a buddy of mine and many people disagree with me 100%. And let me know in the comments if you disagree with me because you're just one of many. And if you agree with me, then hell yeah. But anyways, everyone votes girls on a scale to 1 and 10. 1 being, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. What did I do with that girl? To 10 being like, hallelujah. And I say that there's a scale of 1 to 10, but 10 meaning perfect. So we say 1 to 9. What do I mean by that? I mean any guy that says he's been with a 10 is full of shit. Because a 10 is perfect, so it's imaginary. There is no perfect woman, just like there's no perfect guy. 10 is imaginary. So it's 1 to 9, 9 being the best you can get. 5 is like, okay, you know, I made a mistake, I was drunk, but whatever. Anything below that meaning like, oh my God, what did I do? 6 being like, yeah, she's cute. 7 being like, nice. 8 being like, I'm going to have to check your photos for confirmation. And 9 being like, we won't believe you even if you show us a sex tape. So that's my rating scale. What do you guys think? I don't care because that's my rating scale. But anyways, living in Japan for as long as I did, I've never seen a foreigner with a 9. It's just impossible. Even a buddy of mine slept with a go-go dancer, and you'd think that'd be a 9, but to me, that's kind of like an 8 or a 7. And she wanted nothing to do with him the next day either. So what happens is you get these very beautiful girls, but you know, they're usually the hostesses. They're making mad money. They're making like $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a day. So they're rich. They're getting whatever they want in life. And any foreign in Japan, probably not rich, probably can't even buy her a date to where she wants to go on an average, on a slow day. So a 9, also kind of imaginary in Japan. So 8s then, what about 8s? 8s are beautiful girls, right? So have I ever seen a foreigner with an 8? No. Truth be told, I don't even think I've had an 8, and I've dated models and actresses, so you know, maybe my scale is a little too tight, but I don't know, I vote it the way I see it. Therefore, the hottest girl that a foreigner can get, in my opinion, is a 7. A 7 out of 9 ain't bad. But a 7 is very still high. They're a very beautiful girl. You might meet at a club, you might meet her downtown, do street pickup, but she's very beautiful. When you get her, guys are like, nice. And some people also might not believe that you actually had her. That's how beautiful she is. Then you go down to Roppongi, and every girl you see is like a 6. Or a, she's pretty cute. And these guys that get 200 girls, they get 200 sixes. So, you know, it's, I'm really just shitting on everyone, aren't I? Nope, it's the facts, it's the truth, that either you want to believe it or you don't. So yeah, now getting into the deep and dirty of girls that you can get. Ones that a lot of foreigners really try to get that is very rare would be like a hostess. I've had hostesses, they are insanely beautiful, they're also rich as hell, and weirdly enough, you'd think they'd be a stuck-up bitch, but they're actually the really, in my opinion anyways, they're really the smartest and best people to have a conversation with. And that's because that's their job. They have conversations all day. I had such deep and interesting conversations with my hostess girlfriend that I was just like, man, this is cool. Nothing like the average Japanese girl. Very business, very smart, very educated people. So that's why I kind of like, in Japan, there's a bad image of hosts and hostesses, but truth be told, they're actually pretty smart and fun to be around with. So there's hostesses. You see them all the time downtown Tokyo, all the time downtown major cities in Japan, trying to get, or not as much trying to get customers anymore. That's more the hosts, but you'll see them. They're beautiful. They're dolled out. They have this look, which in Japanese they call gyaru. Which is kind of, I think it means like girl, right? Like very girlish. But in English, we just say a hell of a lot of makeup. And yeah, you don't see a lot of foreigners with them. Usually they're very beautiful, but sometimes, you know, you get ones that are, yeah. All right, then the other ones you get are the kawaii idols where they're like, yay, whatcha? And they're very cute. They're very full of energetic. And they're also one of the most desirable type of girls for Japanese men. So the odds of seeing a foreigner with them, very low. Now, of course, you get the Japanese girls that are famous in Japan. You meet them in Roppongi, you meet them in Shibuya Hub. They're the famous, the idolized, the gaijin hunter. Dun dun dun. So a gaijin hunter is a Japanese girl that directly wants a foreigner no matter what. And these girls vary from just like a girl just beginning to become a foreign gaijin hunter, or they go to the girls that are every night party party Roppongi. Which if you want to get an idea of what a Roppongi girl is, let me tell you this story. So I once heard this from a friend that he was in a bar in Roppongi. And he goes in to go to the bathroom and he sees a Japanese girl sucking off another dude in the bathroom. It happens, that's normal, right? But then he goes pee, leaves the bathroom, goes back to the dance floor, and sees the same girl making out with another foreigner on the dance floor. Ew. That bumps her down to a 2, I'd say. But anyways, that poor foreigner guy, I feel bad for him. But you know, we get that everywhere. The dirty hoes, you know? That's just how it goes with the dirty hoes. But yeah, it doesn't mean that gaijin hunters are always that bad. But here's another story of a gaijin hunter I met. Here's a fucking true crazy ass story. So Tinder in Japan can be fun sometimes. Once in a while you can meet a good girl, but usually you're getting crazy girls, which we call gaijin hunters. But anyways, one time I'm single, I'm on Tinder, and I'm looking for a new girlfriend or, you know, something. And I match this girl. And I have this foreigner buddy that lives just down the street from me, and he texts me. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Weird timing. So I was about to go, hey, dude, I just matched a girl. And he sends me a picture with the girl I just matched at his house saying, do you want me to send her over when I'm finished? Ha ha, JK. And I was like, damn, just matched with a girl and she's two blocks away from me with my best friend. And if you think that was worse, he didn't even know how big of a Tinder hoe she was, because she goes to the bar every damn week downtown Shibuya. And eventually me and him went there drinking one day, and she comes up to me with her phone and a list. And I don't know if you know, but you can make like country flag emojis on your phone. I mean, you should know. But anyway, she had a country flag for every country with foreigner names beside them. And she was like, hey, JJ, it looks like we're gonna hook up tonight. You're my 1, 2, 3, third Canadian. And I was like, not hooking up with you. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, nope, not gonna happen. Nope, sorry, bye-bye, peace. And that was a shocker for me, because I knew those girls existed, but I didn't think that they were that... that what? Just like, couldn't even fathom that. She looked like a normal sweet girl that you just match on Tinder and maybe you get a girlfriend out of it. But God, can you imagine the guy that becomes boyfriends with her and then finds these skeletons in her closet? Like, bleh. But anyways, gaijin hunters, beware. The other type of girl you can get is someone that maybe you bump into or you do nampa or pickup on the street with, and it turns out to be a beautiful girl and you fall in love and it's happily ever after. That does happen. It does exist. But it's pretty freaking rare. And you're also looking at a 6. And I think I covered pretty much all there is. I mean, what else is there? There's ganguro girls that have like the tan skin and the long fingernails. Yeah, I've never seen a foreigner with one of them. And they kind of go more into the gal type category of beautiful Japanese girls that you're never going to hook up with. And I mean, I'm like shooting down people's dreams on this podcast, aren't I? Sorry, guys, truth be told. But anyways, you know, there's so many different types of girls. You got girls that are really into fashion. You got girls with like the Harajuku type kawaii girls. You got, there's just a lot of different type of category type girls, you know? Like if you come to Canada and America, girls are girls. But you go to Japan, it's like Harajuku fashion girls. You got ganguro girls. You got different fashion type trends. You got gyaru, you got hostess, you got idols, and all these different types of girls with complete different personalities. And to this day, I cannot tell if they are faking that personality to fit that category or not. Like I once dated a girl that talked in third person. Some foreigners find it really cute. I found it really cute at first, and then I found it really freaking annoying. Because it was like, oh, what do you want to eat today? And she'd be like, Mika wants to eat ice cream. It's like, just say you want to eat ice cream. And then, you know, it would be all day. It's like, ah, Mika's hot. Mika wants to have shower. It's like, just go have a shower. You know, I'm hot. I want to have a shower. Get out there. And it's like, what kind of future do you have with that, right? You bring that girl to your parents. It's like, yes, this is my wife, Mika. Hi, I'm Mika. Mika likes ice cream and Mika likes Canada. Yay. That's basically how the conversation would go with my parent. So you know what I mean? Like you can't really relate with those people. Just like how a lot of people, they like younger girls, me included. But when you date a younger girl, you might be like, yeah, you know, The Simpsons, you know, like that episode, it was so funny when Homer, and they're like, what's The Simpsons? Like, I had a younger girl once, and it was just so annoying because I'd be watching a show or watching YouTube, and she'd be like, I want to watch Justin Bieber. And it's like, I don't like Justin Bieber. And she'd be like, well, I like Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber, yay, yay, yay. And it's just like, annoying, get out. And it doesn't work sometimes, usually, unless you're Jerry Seinfeld. But anyways, guys, I think that's a pretty good explanation of the types of girls in Japan. And for the girls that I've had some crazy experiences. I've had idols, I've had actresses, I had a girl that was in what do you call it? The mascot character, and she was freaky as hell. I mean, like, when I woke up in the morning, she was like, I gotta go back to my work. There's gonna be like 20 kids today. I'm like, you work with kids? Huh. You know? Like, I gotta tell ya, I knew people that worked at Disneyland, and those Disneyland people got down, if you know what I mean. I would not want my kids even a foot near the Disney princesses. You could smell that fish from miles away. Oh, the Disney life. But yeah, I got a funny story about Disneyland. Maybe I'll tell you another. Yeah, screw it. Let's tell it now. So I knew this guy that was a stuntman at Disneyland, and he was telling me, like, he'd meet either two types of guys. Guys that would come there because they're, like, good shape and they're stuntmen and they want to hook up with Disney princesses. And a lot of the Disney princesses want to hook up with Disney guys. The only problem is a lot of the Disney princesses and people that do these costumes are people from a ballet background, a tap dance, you get my drift. And my buddy was gay and he was telling me about this and he goes, yeah, sometimes, very rarely, you'll get a dancer that's straight and you'll become a Disney prince and try to hook up with Disney princesses, but then he has to stay in the dorm with the whole gay guys having gay orgies all day. And woo, what a life to be, right? Jasmine and them are getting nothing from those princes. They are diving right back into the pile. Anyways, I thought that was funny. All the power to them, man. But, yeah, no happily ever after there. The fairy tale is getting it in the fairy's tale, if you know what I mean. But yeah, the more you know, the better it is, right? Hee hee. But yeah, so I think I covered all that. I hope I answered your questions. You guys could always leave comments down below and I can answer them there. Or maybe I'll start doing live streams if I get enough people. But you know, YouTube demonetized me. I had to fight to get my monetization back. It took them a week. I lost about $1,000. Patreon's going slow. I don't know. People just don't love me. But you know, there's no one going to be as real as it gets than me, telling you the truth about Japan. But you know, in the end, I'm just me and that's all I can be. I'm just me and that's all I can be. Hey, 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 hey. God, I keep getting these weird, gross, one-liner Disney quotes in this podcast. Forgiveness, please. But anyways, guys, I think I covered it. I think I covered it without sounding too douchey, although I get douchey vibes. Sometimes I think I'm a freaking douche, but I'm not. I'm not. That's just not me. But anyways, guys, let me know down below what you want to see, what you want to hear. My podcasts are probably getting me banned from a lot of jobs, but you know, someone has to tell the truth. And in the end, shit's gonna get crazy. Maybe China's gonna attack. Maybe our internet's gonna shut down and maybe the whole world's gonna change for the fucking worst anyways. And then I'll see you at my comedy show. Cause in the end, if the internet shuts down, YouTube crashes and the world goes on fire with no internet, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you at a comedy store near you. Do, 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 do. Bye. God, what a goofy podcast.